Here we go. We're going to Matthew 7. And we're talking about loving higher. And so welcome if this is your first time here, Lisa or anybody else. God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. May we be able to make much of Jesus and point you to loving higher. First him and then others in that order. And to be like him. And so we're looking at three words today that I think some of you will know. I want to thank Amanda and Bill, the McKay family, taking care of the business on the tech side. Thank you. We're going to go for it. Ask, seek, and knock. You heard this before, right? It's all about application. It's all about coming to God, asking, seeking, and knocking. Let's get right to it. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Whew. I am so American, and I am so into my freedom that the very first thing that I think of when I think of this is, why haven't I got all the things I've asked for? Why haven't I found all the things that I've sought after? Why haven't the doors I've pounded on been opened? Because you know what I do is I make this about me. And again, I don't think I'm the only one in the room, but some of you have a much better grip on this and you're much more mature than I am. And praise God, and I need you. We need each other. But I want to ask you to consider who's saying this. Will you remind me who's teaching this Sermon on the Mount? Not Aaron Day presenting it. Who's the one that said it first? Jesus. And he's saying to ask, seek, and knock of him. And we've understood quite a bit about this, but I thought I would kind of unpack it a little bit. Why, after he already taught us about prayer, does he come back to prayer again? Because this is right, this is application of prayer, asking, seeking, knocking. This is a lifestyle of getting after God and his kingdom, not God for your kingdom. Can I say that again on 4th of July? Not your kingdom, his. That's the takeaway, because I'm going to lose some of you. I can see it's starting to get like one of these. And I get it. And we've got like spots. If you want to lay out and get a little more comfortable, go ahead. Get up underneath one of these fans. It'll be so good. But this is about God's kingdom. And so I'm going to unpack this a little bit. You know that it's difficult for us in our own power to obey God. You know, if you're going to go after what Jesus said the most important commandment was, to love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind, all your strength, you're going to need him for that. And so he's like, ask, seek, knock, come to me. I'll help you with all this. I'll help you live out my kingdom. He'll give you all kinds of amazing things in addition, he says. But the first thing, being the first thing, is him and his kingdom. And he'll totally give you more and more and more and more of him. So let's go to this word ask. In John 14, we find a little like challenging passage on asking. And I'm going to tell you why I think it's challenging. Maybe you guys can help me understand it. But John 14, 12 through 14. Jesus, earlier in John 14, my daughter Analia's favorite passage, John 14, in John 14, 6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says, no man comes to the Father except through me. Very, very exclusive, by the way. Not so popular in this world. Not so popular in our country. With our freedom, we want to be able to be free to do whatever we want to do. And God says you can. I was free to eat as much cheese as I wanted to, and I did, and I'm paying for it. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So check this out. Truly, truly, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. You can't get greater than Jesus, okay? Don't get it twisted. You're not going to die for the sins of the world and rise from the dead. But greater, you're going to do these things, and we are still doing them beyond his death and his resurrection and his ascension. He sent his Spirit so we could live out his kingdom. Greater, numerically, we're doing more and more and more because Jesus lives. We just sang about it. So he says, because I'm going to the Father, you're going to be doing greater things. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. I don't have a ton of time to unpack this in teaching, but I'm not going to say if you ask for a Beamer, that's a BMW, but you do it in Jesus' name, then he's got to do it. He said he would. No, this is still about his kingdom. You ask in his name, for his authority, for his glory. It's going to happen. But what about all the things I've asked? It seems like he would want somebody to be healthy. He would want somebody to come to Christ. I get all that. I don't have a good answer for you other than it's his kingdom. But when you ask in his name, when you're on the same page with him, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Do you think possibly us praying that COVID would go away and it didn't, and the challenges would go away within the church of being politically polarized and it hasn't, do you think that that could potentially be a gift from God and he actually has something different for us than what we're asking him for? Yeah. Me too. We're going to get into that a little bit later. So that was the first ask that came to my mind, was he said, like, ask anything in my name and I'm going to give it to you. And so I started to understand, like, in his name, that's kind of the thing, right? We need to understand what it means to be in him, not just baptized, not just at church, but the church, his body, living it out, being his people. And then that brought me to James 1, 5 through 8. You know, James, Jesus' little half-brother, who was part of the mock Jesus crowd until Jesus actually rose from the dead. Oops, he was who he said he was. He calls him the Lord Jesus Christ. He went from, that's my crazy brother, to, he's God. And it was the resurrection that changed it. And so this is what his little brother says in James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Don't ask me for wisdom. You're dumb. You can't do anything with it. You might remember another person who asked for wisdom. Anybody, does that come to mind at all in the Bible? Who asked for wisdom? Solomon. He was all tripping out. Like, my dad, like, left me the family business. I am the next king. I don't know what to do. Yahweh, give me wisdom. I want to lead people the way you want me to lead them for your kingdom. And God blessed him with that. And he didn't ask him for riches and power, and he gave him that too. And the riches and the power and the wisdom got to Solomon's head. And then made their way to his heart because he used his freedom and his gifts for him. And so it's a caution and a warning. It's not like God gave him a tricky gift. He gave him a great gift. Let's not blame God because of our stupidity. How many of, never mind, I won't make you raise your hands. But he gives generously and it will be given to him, he says, without reproach. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we understand, ask, and it will be given. But we need to ask for the right things, and it's not a tricky thing. It's first and foremost his kingdom and his rule and his reign, his authority, his ways. And his ways are way higher than ours. But that doesn't mean that we don't keep asking. Maybe you're asking, and I'm going to tell you that I believe that this particular passage is a lesson in motivation. What's your motivation? Why are you asking? Why are you seeking? Why are you knocking? If you ask and you don't get it, and you start to look for things and you don't get it, and you know that God put it on your heart, and so you start knocking on doors, And eventually you get it or you don't get it. And God's like, well, why are you asking for this? Why are you seeking for this? What is it that you're knocking on the door for? And you could ask God for wisdom. Why am I doing this? That leads me to seek. You guys probably know this passage super well. You can join me in Jeremiah 29. And as you're turning there, I want to remind you that Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah himself, a prophet, wrote to a bunch of people, his people, a lot of them. Not everybody was taken out of Israel where they're at home and had everything the way they wanted it until they walked away from God because they had everything the way they wanted it. Jeremiah writes to these people that are exiles. And he says, look, you're going to be in exile. God has said it. You're going to be where you're at for 70 years. Hey, grow some roots. Literally, like, grow a vineyard. You know what vineyards are. They take a minute. You can't get grape juice or wine from that just by planting it. You got to wait and build some houses and marry people, like your people. Stay within your group. Honor Yahweh, even in this foreign country. But after 70 years, I'm going to come and get you. Pray for the city that you live in and for its peace and its prosperity. For thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 29, 10, not 11. Let's get the context of this. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The seeking is about God with all of your heart, his rule, his reign, his authority, his plans. Now, let me ask, anybody here willing to confess that they have asked God for things, they've sought after him, they've seeked him with their heart, and not gotten what they were asking for and seeking for, and got really disappointed with God? Most of us. It's first him. First his kingdom. If you're asking him for stuff, please check your motivation. You're asking him so you can be happier. Because, I mean, we live in America, you know, it's the pursuit of happiness. It's right there. It's in our DNA. Happened way before America, by the way. We want what we want. The first two people ignored God's command, ignored his prohibition because he was prohibiting them because he loved him. And one of them had a chance to not do what the other one was doing. Adam, he watched his wife take that fruit, ignore what God said, actually start to doubt God because the enemy was leading her down that path and she was a willing follower. And the man who first met God and first was given this prohibition and all this love and all this wonderful gifts was like, gosh, I don't want to lose her. And so he chose his wife. He was seeking after what he wanted. You know why we do what we do? We want to. Whatever that is. So when we're talking about seeking first and asking God for what he has for us, we've got to just trust ourselves to him, not ourselves. Oh, I'm such a great guy. Trust God. Knock. This word, there was only one passage that came to my mind. There's a lot of different ones in the Bible, but if you'll go all the way to the end of the Bible with me, to Revelation 3, there's these wonderful letters that Jesus writes to his church. Different churches. Sing, Noah, I hear you, bro. And most of the churches get an admonishment. Most, well, all but one gets an encouragement too. But in Laodicea, these people are neither hot nor cold. They're kind of lukewarm. And it's God's people that are this way. His church. And in Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So often this has been used as an evangelistic passage. Like, look, Jesus is just knocking on the door of your heart. Just let him in. He's writing to his church. He's knocking on the heart door of his church from the outside. Their freedom had led them to be very lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold. And he did his thing. He came and he knocked. And I want to ask you, are you knocking on Jesus and knocking on his door and asking him and seeking after him and saying, look, I want what you want from me. I want fellowship with you. I want you more than I want what you can give me. We so often want the gifts, and like the gift giver, you stay where you're at. I'll talk with you in a minute. So I've talked about a lot of things in a short amount of time. I'm going to ask you this question. What's your motivation for asking, seeking, and knocking? What is it that you're trying to get? Are you trying to get comfort? Because we can be honest with that. Yeah, I want to be comfortable. But is that the main thing for you? Or is the main thing God? Well, I want him to be. Ask him. Ask him to give you more of him, and he will. Should you get ready for things that are going to make you depend on him more? Yeah, you should. That ought not to be a surprise. But he's not some weird genie that if you ask for something, he's trying to trick you. He's God, and he made you, and he loves you, and he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. So when we ask him for more of him, when we seek after his kingdom, when we, like him, knock on the door and want to be let in, he's knocking first, friends. Like, this is great news. He wants to chill with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He will give you more of him. If you're asking for something else, so then one day you can follow him more when you get all of your stuff that you want. Well, God's been good to me. I should probably give him some of me. That's a mess. You and I have it rearranged. And your motivation isn't the kingdom of God. It's your kingdom, friend. So the rest of the passage here, Jesus gives us this beautiful reminder that his daddy is indeed the perfect daddy. He says, all this ask, seek, and knock, and when you do all that, it will be open to you, you'll receive, you'll find. Then he says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Dad, could I have some bread? Suck a rock. Probably not, right? Maybe you're having a bad day. But like at the end of the day, that's negligence. That's mistreating your children, and you're going to get in trouble for it. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. Oh, did you want a fish? Here's a snake. Ah, I hate snakes. I'm just going to say it. It probably goes back to the fall of man, but I'm telling you right now, no thanks. So he goes, look, if some of you, like you're good parents, if your kid asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. Ask for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake. You're not going to be tricky with them. If you then, Jesus says, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In Luke 11, Jesus says, When you ask him for the Spirit, he's going to give you. That's the best. He's going to give you him. He's going to give you his Spirit in your heart. But these three words just resonated with me so much. How much more? Jesus goes from the lesser to the greater. He's like, you guys understand some things about giving good. My daddy understands it because he's perfect. He knows exactly what you need. Does he want you to ask, seek, and knock? Yes, it's not a game. It's a relationship. He wants to grow. Excuse me, he's fine. He wants you to grow. And he will continue to call you and I to grow. Dr. Tony Evans tells this story, and I heard it a long time ago, and I'm going to abbreviate it. But there was a man that had heard about cruises, and he wanted to go on a cruise so bad. He didn't have a wife or children, and he didn't have much of a job, but he saved up, and he saved up, and he saved up, and he finally was able to buy a ticket for a cruise. Now, he had given all of the pennies and all of the nickels and all the extra that he had. So he made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the whole entire trip. Because he knew he wasn't going to be able to eat on there and have the trip too. So, okay. And for the first few days, he was fine with it, even though he saw all of these other people just mowing down. So much food. Ham and cheese and vegetables and turkey and steak and dessert. And pretty soon it got the better of him, and he asked this man who's got a full plate going to his seat, he's like, how much for like a small meal? And the man looks at him and goes, what? He goes, yeah, I was wondering how much you pay for a small meal. Not the big one like you've got, but like a small meal. I really don't have anything left from being able to pay for this trip. And the man goes, oh, friend, nobody told you? The meals are part of the ticket price. And here's the thing. You've got a father that knows what you need. We've learned it earlier. We're learning it again today. He's the best dad ever. It's his grace that says, you don't have to eat peanut butter and jelly. I got steak for you. I've got more for you. I've got my kingdom for you. I've got the satisfaction of knowing that you're my child, that I have saved you. We don't work for salvation, friends. We work from salvation. That's the grace of God. You don't have to earn it. You can't pay for it. And so he invites you and I to know that it's all been paid for. And you've got more than just the simple bread. You've got a feast at the Father's table. But we need to be able to ask him and believe him. I'm going to go back to Jesus' little brother James to finish up in the word for us this morning. James 1, 16 through 18. Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. That's such a great title. I just love that. Will you just let that kind of wash over you this morning? The Father of lights. He's the source of light. With whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. So that's good, right? The Father of lights, there's no shadow in him. He's the Father of lights. He owns it all. Heaven, by the way, we find out again in Revelation, is lit up by not a really big fat lamp, not even a really amazing sun, not even four amazing suns, but God, his presence, it's lit up by him. And there's no variation or shadow due to change with him. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Warren Wiersbe said something in his commentary that stood out to me. I've been reading a bunch of different commentaries, I promise you this. Warren Wiersbe and Dr. Tony Evans have just been jumping off the page to me the last few weeks, so I give them credit. He said this, The believer who seeks to obey the word of God must constantly ask for strength, seek wisdom, and knock at God's door for the supply of grace needed. These things, for sure, will be given to you. And our Father is the perfect Father. Trusting Him means that you and I know exactly that He has good things for those who apply to Him for help. Church, I'll invite you again. Come back today as you're able after second service and get some free food. Like, there's this gleaning that goes on. And the first Sunday of the month, we have food here, and it's a lot of it. And it's ready to be taken out and shared. But maybe you have friends. Maybe you have neighbors. Look, hey, man, I just picked you up something. That's weird, right? You knock on their door, and you're like, hey, I've got some food for you. I'm not no charity case. And we're like, well, I don't want them to feel weird. Isn't it a little more honest to say you don't want to feel weird? Maybe it's not the food. Maybe that's not for you. But maybe it's letting people know the good news that Jesus loves them. The good news isn't just that they live in America. The true good news is that they get to live forever with Jesus in Him. This is the perfect Father that gives great gifts that don't change and don't kind of look one way one day and one way the next day. And then what was the good news again? Because my American dream fell apart. Seek Him. Ask Him. Knock on His door for His goodness, for His wisdom, for His kingdom. Friends, this is what we were saved for, to live it all out. And it's better than a cruise. And cruises are great. I want you to remember that Jesus bases all of this that we learned today on the fact that God is a good Father. Like the perfect one. He actually knows what you need, and He cares about you so much. I have questions for you. I'm just going to point out that there's a prayer in there, and I really believe that this is for us to consider. And so I want to pray it with us and for us, and I put it up on the screen already, but here you go. Father, I want to thank You so much for being perfect, for being kind and good and not changing. I want to thank You for giving me Your Spirit, giving us Your Spirit. So would You help us, Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus and His example? Would we be people who seek to obey Your word? God, we ask for strength to do so. We seek Your wisdom to understand what it is that You're calling us to and what it is that You want to give us. And we knock on the door of Your grace, knowing that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence because of Jesus. God, help us to ask, seek, and knock, knowing that You're the best dad ever, and You know what we need, and we would trust You to give it to us. And if You're not giving us something, maybe we're asking for something that isn't right for us. Maybe what we think we're asking for is bread, but what we're actually asking for is a stone. So we need Your wisdom to know what's what, and we need the strength to wait and to trust Your grace. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.